Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is also our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, our scripture reading today is going to be out of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, written by Solomon. Just 8 verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, reading from verse 1-8. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. May God give us understanding of his word this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful, grateful, and blessed to be part of your family. We thank you for your word. And you said to Pontius Pilate, and he asked you, what is truth? He said, thy word is truth. You are the truth. You are the life. And we thank you that we've been given everlasting life through your Holy Spirit that lives within us. Give us understanding through this message. May it bless us. May it convict. May it save. In Jesus' name, amen. This weekend, obviously, we remember all those that made the ultimate sacrifice in time of war, so that we could be free. Free to vote, free to travel, free to worship, and free to pursue the American dream. Are you living the American dream? Maybe you haven't woke up yet. Jesus said in Matthew 24, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. This is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. And kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. So today we remember those that have died in wars. We'll go into all the statistics, starting back in the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, First Gulf War, the Iraq War, all fought for democracy. We're living in a democratic country, so we can live in peace. For me, who's born in England, I especially think of all the Americans that fought for democracy against the wicked, tyrannical forces of evil that Satan raised up, namely Hitler and Mussolini and Tojo from Japan. Without God's help, and God was, he preserved democracy in this world, without his help, life would be a very different place to live in America. Dictatorship would dominate every aspect of our lives. But thankfully, you know, even though Satan raised up those wicked dictators, despots, God raised up men like Franklin D. Roosevelt and Prime Minister Winston Churchill, who were determined not to surrender regardless of the cost, and it was a high cost, to defeat the forces of darkness. Without their God-given leadership, our quality of life would be very different now. Britain, as you know, any history buffs here, stood alone for 2 years. They would not surrender. While the rest of Europe had been conquered by the Nazis, and then America entered the war after Japan attacked America in Hawaii at Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. The day that will live in infamy, as Roosevelt said. So that was, Hitler made a lot of stupid mistakes. And one of the biggest stupid mistakes that he ever made was declaring war on America. That was the beginning of the end. And then on June 6th, 3 years later, 1944, American, British, and Canadian forces landed on 5 beaches along the 50-mile stretch of France's coast, the Normandy region. The invasion was the largest amphibious military assault in human history. We remember those who have died in wars, who many are unfortunate enough not to tell their story, but there are still some left. There's not many. They're all dying off. They're in their 90s, late 80s. Some live through to tell the tale. Today, let's remember just one American, one Medal of Honor winner this morning who died this year on April 15th, that's our anniversary, Denise and I's anniversary. It's also tax day. So it's a day you're not gonna forget. This guy was named Arnold Raymond Lambert, and he was 99 years old when he passed away this year. He served as a medic in the 16th Infantry Regiment. Then only 23, and some were younger than that, we know. He was but one soldier in the largest combined amphibious and airborne invasion in history. A mighty armada never seen before or since, where some 160,000 men, 5,000 vessels, 11,000 aircraft, the vanguard of the Allied Liberation Forces of Western Europe, from which Winston Churchill had called a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalogue of human crime. Absolutely wicked, inspired by Satan, the forces of evil, were trying to dominate the forces of right and goodness and democracy. When D-Day finally arrived, after years of planning and mobilization, Lambert's unit was at the spearhead of that invasion. So in the early dawn of June 6, 1944, Lambert's medical unit landed with the first assault wave on Omaha Beach. It was an absolute slaughter. Waiting there were the Wehrmacht troops, well-armed, well-trained, well-equipped, well-fortified, well-prepared for this invasion. So they came on the landing crafts and the amphibious tanks. Many drowned, drenched, the ones that managed to get through, weary, seasick from the nighttime channel crossing, in very, very rough seas. They almost cancelled the invasion. And these GIs faced daunting odds, overwhelming odds initially. This pre-dawn bombardment had landed uselessly short, far from the targets. Naval gunfire support had landed short. Many amphibious tanks sank before they even reached shore. Many of the landing crafts were swamped by high waves. Many sank, many drowned. Soldiers charged forward, chest deep in seawater, weighed down with the seawater, also carrying 90 pounds of ammunition and equipment. Can you imagine that? Imagine what that was like. And as they came ashore, machine guns, artillery and mortar fire rained down on them. It was like hell. And in the opening minutes of battle, by one estimate, 90% of the frontline GIs in some companies were killed or wounded. 90% in the initial wave. So obviously, within hours, casualties mounted into the thousands. Lambert was also wounded, the medic, not just once, but twice that morning. But he was still able to save others that weren't as worse off as he was. He managed to save at least a dozen lives. And thanks to his bravery, skill, and presence of mind. So impelled by instinct, training, and a profound sense of love for his comrades, he rescued many men from drowning. He bandaged many others, and he even shielded men that were wounded behind a nearest safe steel barrier or behind a lifeless dead body. And he administered morphine shots, including one for himself, to mask the pain of his own bleeding wounds. So, Lambert's heroics only ended when a landing craft weighing hundreds of pounds crashed down on him when he attempted to help another soldier. And miraculously, he never died, but he was unconscious with his back broken. If things weren't bad enough. So Lambert was tended by other medics that managed to survive that ordeal and soon found himself on a vessel heading back to England to recover. But his painful ordeal was far from over. And this is what he said. When I came out of the army, I weighed 130 pounds. I'd been in hospital for almost a year after D-Day in England before I was able to walk again and be able to get around some in order to return back to the States. So he lived to be 99, pretty good age, miraculously. Mr. Lambert visited Normandy many times after that and did return for the 75th anniversary last year to take part in solemn ceremonies to pay his respects to the 9,380 men that are buried in the American Military Cemetery in Colville de Mar. On the high bluff overlooking the beach, so stands their remembrance symbol, either a cross or the Star of David. Lambert knew many of those men that died that day, and he also remembers many other men that died in pitched battles before that. He was involved in the campaign in North Africa and Sicily, where he earned a Silver Star, a Bronze Star, and 2 Purple Hearts. After D-Day, he was also awarded the Bronze Star and another Purple Heart. So the tranquil seaside scene of today's Normandy coastline is very different from the one that etched in Lambert's memory and nightmares. He says, where tourists and vacationers see pleasant waves, I see blood, the distorted faces of drowning men. Amidst the sound of children playing, I hear the screams of men pierced by Nazi bullets and brave men crying for their mothers. He remembers the sound of combat, furious cacophony unlike anything in civilian life. He said, the noise of war does more than deafen you. It's worse than shock, more physical than something thumping against your chest. It pounds your very bones, rumbling through every organ, counterbeating your heart. Your skull vibrates. You feel the noise as if it's inside you, a demonic parasite pushing at every inch of skin to get out. He lived with that for many, many years until he passed away this year. So this gives us an idea of the horror of war. And we should never forget the sacrifices these people made for us so that we can be free. Freedoms that we often take for granted came at a very high price. A very high price. Likewise, we should never forget, and I hope we never do, the price it took the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the cross, to be impaled, and pay the ultimate sacrifice to save our lost soul. We were lost, but now we are found. Was blind, but now we see. For the Christian, every day should be Memorial Day, especially when we take the Lord's Supper. We've not been able to do that together for obvious reasons. It's then especially that we remember the sacrifices, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us and the excruciating pain he endured on that cross, that implement of torture. Without him pouring out his lifeblood, we would still be enslaved by the wicked forces of evil, enslaved by the tyrant and author of evil, the devil. who controlled every aspect of our lives and we didn't even know it. We were deceived to believe lies. But by God's grace, the amazing grace of God, there came a day. Do you remember that day? Has there ever been a day when you first believed and the devil's chains, his shackles were broken and we were set free the moment we received Jesus as our Savior? And he said in John chapter 8, 36, so if the Son, not talking about S-U-N, we're talking about capital S-O-N. So if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Are you free this morning? Are you free? There is no other way to be set free apart from believing and receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. So then let's remember those who have died so that we can be free, so that we can meet together like this, who have died, who paid the ultimate sacrifice physically. They gave up their life physically. But let's never remember the one who died for us so we could be free spiritually. Amen? Psalm 40, verse 2 says, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Lord knows where we'd be or what we would be doing without Jesus Christ and receiving him as our Savior. Amen. Amen. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock. And those who have placed their faith in him are standing on that rock that cannot be moved. He is the rock of our salvation. Jesus died. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. For those who call upon his name shall be saved from their sins. We are no longer condemned. We're no longer under a death sentence. We've been given the gift of eternal life. We cannot earn it. It was been given to us as a free gift at a very high cost. Now, believers in Jesus, we wait for his return. Are you waiting? He said, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. We're going to meet him in the air, in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, Scripture tells us. But for the unbelievers, those that are outside of Christ, they'll be left behind to face God's judgment that will fall upon this earth. What about you today, wherever you are listening? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Will you be with the Lord when you die, the second that you die, or when he returns for his church, or will you be left behind? Revelation chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus says, remember, and that's why we're here today, apart from being commanded to meet together in the Word. Jesus says, remember therefore what you have received. and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Jesus can come back at any time. Will you be left behind? Remember what you've heard. Wake up. Hold it fast. Receive it. You've heard it this morning, wherever you may be. You've heard it. Will you repent? Will you turn from your sin to the Savior? Will you wake up? Because Jesus will come like a thief in the night when you least expect it. Are you ready? Are you? Are you ready? Are you? All right. Got to be ready. So then, let's close. Let's wrap it up. Memorial Day weekend comes around but once a year. And we will remember them. We will not forget them. But let us daily remember the only one who was good enough to die for our sins, Jesus. Let's remember his love, his goodness, his mercy, his grace, and the ultimate sacrifice that he paid to bring us to God. What a Savior. And he said in John 15:13, no greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. We're no longer his enemy. He calls us friends. The Allies won the victory over those evil forces. Jesus has won the victory over those evil forces, wickedness and spiritual darkness, and has conquered death. He's conquered death. And he said in John 8:24, therefore, you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. He says, you will die in your sins. And thankfully, those of us that have received him as Savior, we will not die in our sins, but we have received everlasting life and we can never perish. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless. Let's close in a word of prayer. Again, Father, we can call you Father now because you are our Heavenly Father. And Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Unfortunately, the religious people of the day didn't believe your word. They believed that you were committing blasphemy by claiming to be God, but you were telling the truth. You are God. There's only one good enough to pay that sacrifice on the cross. Only one who's ever been born without sin to offer up himself as a perfect, unblemished sacrifice that's acceptable to the Father. But having died, was buried, yet rose again from the dead, received a resurrected body, one day we will do the same. We look forward to that day. In the meantime, help us to love you, be grateful, put you first always, and remember the sacrifice that you made. We think about those who have also made the ultimate sacrifice in various wars, so democracy can continue. May it continue. Keep your hand on this country. resist the forces of wickedness that would seek to alter the Constitution and the truths that this country was founded upon. And many, we pray, come to know you as personal Savior. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.